Today's scripture reading is out of Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of the fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rick. Serving as an elder or a deacon is a response to God's word and what God calls us to. But I thought how aptly placed following our scripture reading today, defending the fatherless and the widow and serving the oppressed, than to call our deacons and elders forward at this time in the service. So today we invite Jason Bradley to come up, Sue Deaver, Sandy Folk, and Todd Guevara. And I'd also invite up Elaine Baker, who's one of our ruling elders, who's helping us out this morning. Let me turn that on for you there. Let's see how I can stand out of the way here. It's a good looking crew, don't you think? So this is always kind of lengthy. And I look at it this way, it's an opportunity, especially if you are new to this church or to being Presbyterian in general or watching online, to hear what serving is all about and the distinction between our elders and our deacons and what they actually do. So thank you for your patience as we go through this together. You are familiar with all of these people here. Sue Deaver has served in almost every area of ministry here at HPC. Jeannie probably has a few on her. But Sue primarily now has served as a deacon, is serving in our women's ministry and liturgical arts as well. She fills in the office. Jason Bradley, you just heard, is one of our guitarists extraordinaire in our band. Sandy Folk served as a clerk of session for a billion years. A very long time, set the bar very high as a clerk, and did other things along the way, also helping in the office too. And is excited, I think, to serve as a deacon this time, a little bit different role. And then Todd Guevara, you can find him in our youth ministry. You can find him with the occasional children's message in the front or filling in for worship, and with the men's ministry. Covered that pretty good, I think. That was a lot of different ministries that are opportunities for all of us. So the ministry of deacon, as set forth in scripture, is one of compassion, witness, and service, sharing in the redeeming love of Jesus Christ for the poor, the hungry, the sick, or anyone who is in distress. Elders, of course, make up our board, which is also called the session. They're called ruling elders. I'm called a teaching elder. And they nurture the common life of the people of God through their gifts of discernment, governance. They provide for worship. They chair particular commissions like the Fellowship Commission, you might be familiar with, They set the budget and they carry out what is God's vision for the church. So these four people have responded to God's call with these acts of service, and I have some questions for all four of you. There's quite a few of them, and you can just answer all together, I do. The first, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity and will you abide by its discipline?
I will.
Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
And will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will, with God's help.
Absolutely. Now there's a final question, for elders and then for the deacons. Will you be faithful ruling elders, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? And will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will, with God's help.
And then deacons, will you be faithful deacons, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Do we, the members of the church, accept Sandy and Todd as deacons and Jason and Sue as elders, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? And do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church?
We do.
At this time, I invite for elders who have served or are currently serving, as well as deacons, former pastors who are have served in the past, because we will lay hands on these four. And, you know, we ask them to kneel down, but we won't do that because we are all aging. A little bit difficult. Maybe there's someone with a phone in the back who could take a little picture of them gathered around. Oh, this is great. And the whole church came up.
Small congregation.
Yeah, here comes Liz. Wonderful. Okay. What we'll do now is pray for these new deacons and elders. And actually, I'd invite you to stand if you're able, and you can also raise a hand, laying on hands to these folks. Let us pray. Lord God, you've called these people to respond to your word and to serve. We thank you for their willingness, their sense of call, the opportunities, Lord, that you will place in their paths. We pray you equip them, strengthen them as they grow and serve. Fill them with love for all people. Fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of self-discipline. Lord, we rejoice in being your people. May each of us follow the steps of your Spirit. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
Amen.
All right, let's welcome our new officer. That is a great moment for our church. I have been reading through old session minutes of many, many years. I mentioned to a couple of you, just for fun, just for the history and knowledge of what all has gone on at HPC. And there's been a lot of times of conflict, as most of you know, and stress and pressure and things. And I know one of the challenges reading those minutes has been finding people to serve, because as I said, almost the whole congregation was up in the front, right? And so we're I think, making that a little easier, increasing the support for deacons and for elders, keeping our meetings a little bit shorter and all of that. And so I hope that somebody got a picture somewhere. That we remember this just as a moment of real health and joy for our church. So thank you. I guess I have to preach now. So that preached on its own, though. All right. So our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? This is the word of the Lord. This is a good reminder for us. We could insert what we actually worry about into Jesus' words there at the end in our context. What shall we eat? What fund shall we pay for with this? What shall we do? List our own concerns there. The premise of our series on the Sabbath has been the need for Sabbath from the restlessness and anxiety in our society today. And this restlessness is expressed in many things we've normalized that we've talked about the last 2 weeks. Overconsumption, consumerism, viewing people as or using them as commodities. I mentioned a week or two ago, the idea for the Jewish people was the Sabbath was a reflection and experience, a precursor of the world to come. That will stay with me as we move on from this series. I think that's a wonderful picture. It's for this reason, in my own sanity or self-care or whatever, that I do things differently on my days off, and I am trying to incorporate practices of the Sabbath into my life. But I'll give you some ideas today in a little bit. First, I want to look at that very strongly worded Old Testament text that Rick read to us. And I did not do this intentionally, but what a powerful text for Super Bowl Sunday. The prophet Isaiah delivers this oracle against God's people in this portion of Isaiah. And this is just verses 11 to 15 of chapter 1, if you have a Bible in front of you or your phone. Just 14 and 15. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. And this is the Lord speaking. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. The Lord is saying, all your sacrifices, all your whatever this is, this worship you're doing, your offerings, they're futile, they're a burden to me, the Lord, and I'm tired of them. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, put this in a fun, kind of understandable context. Here's just a piece of it. He says, when you come before me, whoever gave you the idea of acting like this, running here and there, doing this and that, all this sheer commotion in the place provided for worship. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings, meetings, I can't stand one more. I feel like he had pastoral experience going into that, right? He continues, meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, while you go right on sinning. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or loud or often you pray, I'll not be listening. And he ends, and do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces and your hands are bloody. The Lord isn't interested in what they have for him, their offerings or their worship, while they go on sinning and doing what they're doing. He says their hands are full of blood, like murderous blood from what they've done. This is echoed in another place in Isaiah. The Lord says in this particular oracle, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. And so what is the remedy, according to the Lord? Verse 16, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. The wording all there in Hebrew means take a different direction, take a detour, take a different road. Just stop, cease, and turn around and go a different direction, head elsewhere. This commentator writes, everything God requires in order to cease doing evil is directly connected with actions toward others. I want to read that just one more time because I like it. Everything God requires in order to cease doing evil is directly connected with actions toward others. We see here the Lord in this text doesn't mention repentance or penitence or something. Instead, God asks for actions that aren't focused. Verse 17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Learn, seek, defend, take up, and plead. And who are we to do this for? The oppressed, the orphans, the widows. That will preach on a day like today because it is the Super Bowl. Super Bowl tickets, which used to average $10,000 apiece for today's game dropped as the game grew closer to today. And so then when I looked a couple days ago, they were only $4,100 to $4,600 per ticket. The team that wins takes home a $188,000 bonus for each player, and those who lose the game take home $113,000 for each player. But really, that's nothing compared to the average salary of an NFL player, which is $3.14 million. Finally, a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl today costs $8 to $10 million. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it takes great intentionality to live counterculturally to what we have now. It feels like paddling upstream, it's the only way I can describe it, against a really strong current, because sometimes you just kind of get tired and give up, right? There's nothing wrong with watching the Super Bowl for entertainment this afternoon. But as Christians, we're challenged to focus on others as a way of following Jesus, and also, according to this Isaiah text, of aligning our behavior and our concern with the Lord's, with what the Lord cares about. There are a whole lot of concerns in our world today. So how exactly do we do that? We start by aligning ourselves with those Sabbath rhythms that we've lost to make space for hearing and doing what God asks of us. And so we look different to the world. I did not always live with rest in place or practice of these kinds of Sabbath practices or rhythms. I worked really hard. I was in seminary at the same time. I gave myself most of my time to my former church. I ran kids around everywhere, to here and there and elsewhere. And I did so at the sake of my own health and also of my relationships. Some of you know some of those stories. It was a long season and a very hard one. And by the time I hit midlife, I was sick, and I had experienced a lot of loss. Now, when it's my time off, I live very slowly. I work around the house on what brings me life. Todd comes home and says, "These plants moved again. You've switched them around, and they walked around the house, and they're in different windows now." I work around my house, but not anything that, you know, is going to be a lot. I tend to my plants because they're living. I cook. I stare out the window. I walk the dog. I make dinner for my family, definitely, on my days off. And if I'm home alone, I barely say a word all day. That's rest to me. I also take a break from my phone. I realize, and I think this is scriptural, it's humility, we all have to realize we're not really that important. We can take breaks from those digital devices. I leave it in another room for a little while, or I leave it face down on a table so I can hear if one of you all has an emergency, but I take breaks from looking at it several hours in some cases. I avoid social media, or I allow myself to look at it a few minutes a day here and there. How would life be different without social media? We're never going to have that again. Or without watching your videos or watching your news. There would definitely be more time and alignment with God's desires, or time to take a piece of cake to the widow across the street, time to call someone who's recently suffered a loss. Time to go and sort clothes at Northwest Children's Outreach for an hour or two, or to listening to a teenager whose parents don't talk to him very much and who's just lost a friend. So that was intentionality. In addition to intentionality to live counterculturally, we need reinforcement to do so, right? From our communities and from our relationships. I figured out why I'd never heard a sermon series on the Sabbath. And that's because when the pastor does it, the people take time off. I didn't really think about that till this last week when I heard from a few different people saying, I'm not going to be in, I'm going to the beach, or I'm doing this or that, or whatever. All kidding aside, and the weather was beautiful, and there were some people who left town during that time, and we also have quite a few people sick. But that's why you don't hear a sermon series on that, that is for sure. We actually got to the beach following the annual meeting for just like one whole day, maybe, when you pieced it all together. And so those little times, you know, of Sabbath are good. But for us to live with Sabbath rhythms, we have to have encouragement from others to do so, or it's not going to happen. It's almost impossible to find. And I think even I in the future will need reminders. If you tell me you won't be at something and I show disappointment, your space and your time with the Lord is extremely important. So we'll revisit this series again in some way. But for now, Ash Wednesday is not too far off. And what is it, 10 days or so? And that's the beginning of our Lenten season already leading up to Easter. And as we approach this time of Lent, know that you all have the reinforcement from your sisters and brothers in Christ here to take some time to align yourself to what God wants, to live at a slower pace, to enjoy every single moment that we're given of this life. We celebrated two beautiful lives yesterday. My friends, Janet and Jerry, one was a former patient, and both lived to be 96, 94, or 5, 96, 98, it's all the same to me, 96, 98. They were married and they passed within 3 weeks of one another. While that living to 100 years is certainly a long time, and my grandfather did it, so hopefully I've good genetics too, it goes by in a flash, doesn't it? It goes by very quickly. So living at a slower pace, enjoying the moments we have of our lives, our precious lives. An idea for the Lenten season is perhaps you make some kind of covenant, some kind of promise with yourself for a digital Sabbath. A digital Sabbath away, a time away from your phone, a day away from Facebook or something like that. To care for the widow, to care for the orphan, and those under the weight of oppression. Consider those in your sphere of influence, the people, the family members, and friends that you know. Because I think even in our very wealthy nation, as we will see on the TV today, my guess is there is not someone too far from you who has just lost a spouse, who has lost their parents. May our hearts be full of the love of God and full of the love of God that he has for all of his children. Amen. Let's take a few moments to reflect now. Thank you for all of your continued giving. There's a giving box in the back of the sanctuary and some other instructions about that on the bulletin. We'll pray for God to bless our offerings, and thank you for all you do for service to our church. Let us pray together. Lord, as your people, in the next few moments, we come to you in silence and ask to hear from you. We're so aware of the challenges in our nations, in our communities. We pray, Lord, in these next few moments of silence that you hear our prayers during this time. May we hear from you, and we also pray that we would be filled with peace. Hear our prayers now.